Hello, my name is Mike Tolte. I work for Microsoft in the UK, and this is a continuation of a set of screencasts taking a bit of a tour of the networking stack in Silverlight 4, specifically the beta, and specifically using Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2. You really need to kind of watch these videos in order for them to make sense. I don't do a lot to try and set up the context each time. We're just kind of carrying on from where we were before. We're currently in HTTP. This is going to be video 3. Video 1, we did a quick get of some XML asynchronously. Video 2, we looked at how we could also use RSS, Atom, and JSON asynchronously again, downloading a file. And here in video 3, I want to move from an HTTP get to let's look at an HTTP post and see where that takes us. So let's go ahead, switch back to Visual Studio and see where we are. If I pop over to VS, it's the same code we've been using through video 1, video 2. I put it back to use XML, so we have this file posts.xml, and in fact, no, we'll leave the other files for now, but we've still got posts.xml. It has a bunch of posts, each one is a post with a title, a date, a description. We have a class that kind of matches up to that in our Silverlight application down here that the website hosts for us. That's post over here, and post is just a class with a title, a name, and a description. And it knows how to load itself from a link to XML X element by reaching in and grabbing the values of the elements title, description, and pub date. We then have some UI. Behind that UI, on a button click, we have some code. This code runs when you click a button on the UI. We use the web client class to asynchronously request a download of the post.xml file. When that async request completes, we check the error status. And if the error status is OK, we use link to XML to load the resulting stream that the framework gives us. And then we simply reach in and grab all the post elements and call the function I just showed you to turn them into posts, and we bind that onto the screen. So that the ultimate effect is that we get a UI with a little button on it, async request to the file, deserialize with link to XML, and then we get some data on the screen. And that's kind of where we've been so far. Okay, so what I want to do here is switch from doing a HTTP GET to doing an HTTP POST. It's quite an obvious switch. So let's go over to our website over here and add into this a new item. Let's just say add new item. And that new item can be an ASP.NET generic handler. And handler.ashux is fine for me, so let's go ahead and add that in. Okay, so this will probably serve my purposes right now, but let's just make sure that it kind of works. Let's go over to our web.config and just add a little bit of configuration in to try and get that handler to work. And let's just make sure if you view it in a browser. Let's just do a view in a browser. Actually, let me just make that verb star. And let's just go and view in a browser and just see if it just returns back something. Just to make sure that the handler kind of works. Yeah, it does kind of work. Okay. So at the moment, the handler is just returning hello world. And into that handler, I just want to put a breakpoint so that we can see what's going on. Okay, great. Let's go back to our Silverlight code and see if we can change that. So at the moment, this is doing a read. We don't want it to do a read anymore. Let's get it to do something else. So let's get rid of all this. And what we want it to do, and again, it's worth saying there's two ways of doing this. We do client dot. We can either do upload string async and upload string completed to send a string, or we can use a stream and do open write async. So let's use that. We'll make a URI, and that's going to be handler.ashux, and that's a relative URI again. No. Relative URI. Okay, and what verb do we want to use? So if you pass null, you get post, but let's be explicit and get post anyway. We'll come back and talk about verbs in a little while. And then what's going to happen is we're going to get client.open write completed. So we'll just handle that event by just locally inserting a handler. And then again, what we get is a stream, except this time to write into. So we can say if not e.cancelled and e.error equals null, then we're good. So we can go ahead and write into the result stream that we get in e.result. So let's create a little bit of XML to send to the server. So let's just say x element XML equals new x element. We'll call this one posts. And then we'll just make a few posts in there. So we'll say from I in enumerable.range 1 to 5, let's say 1 to 3. Let's select a new X element. I'm not going to be too precious about this. Let's call it post and put an attribute on it. And that can be the title of the post. And we'll just say string.format title with a number. And that can be I. Okay, so we've got some XML. And now what we want to do is write that out into the stream. So we'll say XML writer. A new one of those. Oh, no, sorry. XML writer.create. And we'll ask it to do that over the results stream. And then we'll say XML.write to that writer. And we'll say writer.close and resultsstream.close. Okay, and hopefully we're now sending some XML over there. We've not set any content type or anything like that, but let's go ahead and build, and let's see if we can get our breakpoint in our handler as that comes in. So let's just compress F5 and see what happens. Let's click our Get Data button, which now has the wrong name on it. You can see that the post is running across. Let's say context dot... Let's go and see if we can get the request and have a look at that in the debugger. And you should be able to see that we're requesting the handler. Let's just see what else we can grab out of this that's useful. You can see it's a post that came in over here. And I'm not sure if we can really grab much else that's that useful out of this. I suppose what I really want to do is grab the whole request stream and just read it in, don't I? I suppose that would make it kind of useful. So let's just say stream reader. New one of those. Let's wrap that around the context.request.inputStream, and then let's just say string request equals reader.readToEnd. Let's just see if we can see what that looks like. So we click our button, we call across. Let's have a look at the request, as we called it here. We should be able to take a look at that. So you can see there's posts 1, 2, and 3 coming through, and if best we could also look at the content type, and the content type is not set. So let's just pop back over to our client, and let's just set that content type header. So a word about headers, if we go to the web client class up here, we can wander into its headers collection, and there's two ways to touch headers here. One is to go ahead and use an enumeration, so like this HTTP request header dot content type, and we could set that to let's just say text/XML, and that's fine. You can also index into it with an arbitrary string if your header doesn't appear in this enumeration. However, a key thing to know about headers is that you can't just arbitrarily read and write any old header you like. A lot of headers are protected away from you by Silverlight. If you look in the documentation around this enum, I think, you'll find a whole bunch of rules as to which headers you can and cannot affect. So don't expect that you can just get and set any header. Silverlight takes a secure view as to what headers you can and can't mess around with. So be aware of that. But in this case, we can set the content type header here, and we press F5, and we should see that show up on the server side. So if we just go and click our button, hit our breakpoint server side, now you can see server side we've got content type of text XML. So we can do things like that. And you get the idea as to how that works. So we can do a post, and we're doing a post right now. And there's a couple of things we could do with this which are interesting. One would be to change that verb from post to another verb, and we'll talk about that a bit later on. And another would be to try and get something back from the server. So let's mimic that scenario where we're sending something to the server like we're doing at the moment, but we also expect something back. So let's take this XML code that we've got at the moment, and let's go over to our server side, and instead of the server returning plain text, let's have it return XML. So we need over here to also be using system.xml.link, and so now we've got XML being created server side. I'm just going to flesh that out slightly. We also need to be using system.link. Okay, that should be okay for that enumerable. Okay, so we only return titles at the moment. I also want to return descriptions and posts, I think. So we just want to say, let's have another attribute, description, and we'll just say string.format description I, and we'll have the other thing that we wanted, which was a new X attribute, which was of type, which was called pubdate, I think. And we'll just call that date time.now if we can get away with that without casting, we'll try. Okay, so we're trying to just take that XML, and then we want to serialize that out into the response stream. So let's say XML writer, we'll just call that writer equals, let's say XML writer I probably want to bring in system.xml, bear with me. Let's just using system.xml up here as well. And then we can just shorten those names down a little bit. And what we want to say is xmlwriter.create, yikes, just get that sorted out, over the response stream that we've got here. So we can say, effectively, context.response, I think it's called output stream, isn't it? So we just grab that thing. And then what we want to do is simply say xml.write to that writer, and then writer.flush, I suppose. Okay, so now the server is writing out some XML in response. That should be what it's doing. And we can perhaps test that out, I suppose, if we were to go and just view that in a browser and see if it comes back with some XML. And it does come back with some XML with some funny dates and times on it. And that's fine. The problem we've got, if you like, is that the client is really now in no position to accept this. If you notice what we did, we could either do client.openreadAsync or client.openwriteAsync. But we're not really getting anything else from this. Now, there is another event we could handle, which is an event called client.writeStreamClosed, which will tell us when the stream for writing has actually been closed. But there's not really any way that, having sent this data to the server, we can now process the server's response. So we can either do a download or an upload, but what if you want to do both? Well, if you want to do both, and for more sort of advanced scenarios in general, there is another class which is called the HTTP Web Request. And Web Client is built on top of that, and generally speaking, I would use this class every scenario you can, unless you have some specific reason not to. But let's illustrate that here by using HTTP Web Request to do this a different way. It's less friendly than Web Client, but let's just take a quick look at it. So let's say HTTP Web Request. And the way you create one of these things is by walking up to a class called Web Request, and you have to cast the return value from it. So you go Web Request, .create, and you give it a URI that identifies what it is you want to get to. So in our case, that's handler.ashux. Okay, that creates your web request. The reason why you do the cast here is the idea is that web requests could create things other than HTTP. It could do, say, FTP or something like that. But in our case, we're only interested in HTTP, especially in Silverlight, where there really only is HTTP for this kind of request. So we can go and do that, and then if we take a look at web request, you'll see on here that it's got things like an explicit property for content type, so that's cool. So we can say text XML, that's nice. And then we can say web request dot. And the way this works for us, notice again that we've got other properties we can play with, like cookie containers and so on, and credentials. We said we'll talk about those things later on, and we'll do that. But what we can do is basically say get me the request stream. So this is asynchronous again, but get me the request stream. So we can call that. Now what it wants to do is be passed a callback. So let's pass a callback. This is going to give us an iasync result. So we'll say result produces. We'll do this inline. And we could pass state, which we won't do. And now what we've got here is the result stream. Now the way this works is that this is a traditional iasync result pattern. So what you've got to do is say web request dot end get request stream, passing in that result, and that may well throw an exception at that point. So you have to really check as to whether you're getting an exception or not. But let's say that request stream equals that request stream we've got there. So now we've got the request stream. So what we can do, of course, is write our XML into it. So let's just crib some code that we had earlier on. Let's create some XML on the client here. So here we are creating some XML. And then what we want to do is write that into that particular stream. So again, we can take an XML writer. We could probably do most of this code that we had before. Let's just steal some of that code. And let me just get rid of everything else that's causing problems for IntelliSense right now. So here we are essentially. Begin get request stream. When that finishes, call me back. We'll get the request stream. We'll make some XML. and then we'll write it into that request stream. So create a writer over that stream. We write our XML into it, close our writer, flush it, and close it. I'm not sure if you actually need to flush it, but it's just something that I like to do, I suppose. So at that point, we've now written our stuff out into the request stream. But what we also want to do is we want to get hold of the response as well. So we need to walk back into that web request, and let's do that here. Let's say web request dot, and then we can say is begin get response. Okay, so this is another one of these iasync result kind of things. So let's do begin get response, give it a callback to call. So let's just say response result produces, we're doing all of this in line, we're not passing any state. And so once again, this is going to then be called back asynchronously, and what we need to do is say web request dot end get response, and we pass it the result, and this could throw an exception. And that gives us back a thing called a web response, but in this particular case, we can cast that as an HTTP web response. So we can say web response equals HTTP web response. Now we've got the response back from this thing. Okay, so with that web response, we can take a look in there. We can have a look at its status code, you know, the HTTP status code we got back. We'll talk about that later on, though, because it's very relevant. And we can look at various other different bits and pieces. We've got headers and so on. And, of course, we can get hold of the response stream. So we can go and say at stream, response stream equals web response dot get me the response stream. And so from that response stream, we should have XML in there. We could also, I guess, go and have a look at the content type and make sure that it's XML. But we've got stuff back, and we should be able to turn that back into our data that we wanted in the first place. So we can do that again with something like link to XML. So let's say XElement again. XML equals XElement.load. We're going to give it that stream, the response stream. And then we can go and say query equals, let's say from, post in XML dot, descendants and self call post. And we want to select post dot from XElement, which we wrote in a previous video on that particular post. And then I suppose we should call the close the response stream. Let's close that off. And what we really want to do then is, I don't know what's wrong with that XML. We've already got one. Let's call this XML response. My mistake. So what we really want to do now is change our UI in order to reflect the new set of data that we've got. However, we are on the wrong thread for changing our UI. So that's the difference again with web client. With web response here, we may well be on the wrong thread. And so what we need to do is get back to the UI thread. So what I'll do is just capture this query as a list. Let's just say list equals query.toList. Just to make sure that that's actually happened. And then I'll use my dispatcher to begin invoke and pass it an action just to put this onto the UI thread, where we can say this.posts equals list. So we're back on the UI thread for that. So this code has got a little bit ugly because I wrote everything in line, and I bet I'll regret this in a minute because it probably won't work. But you'd normally separate this out far more than I'm doing here. Let's see if we get anywhere with it. Let's build. Let's be brave. And let's go and see, do we get a request stream, do we get a response stream, and that'll probably do. And over on the server side, do we get called at all? Let's see what happens. Being brave and pressing F5. Okay, let's just go hit that button. Ah, so I've already broken it because I gave it a bad URI. Oh, okay, I've given this a bad URI, so let's give this a better URI. Let's just say HTTP localhost videos handler.ashex. And there's another bit of fixing to be done here whilst we're here. I notice we're not actually setting the HTTP verb to post, so we should be doing that as well. So let's say web request.method equals post, and let's press F5. Hopefully we've patched up the code at least to get a request stream. So let's hit the button. We get a request stream. Let's see how that goes. We are over on the server with our data coming in. We can see the content type is XML. We can see the request is our XML that we sent across. That's cool. Then we go and create some server-side content and send it back. We're back on the client, hopefully, getting the response stream and the XML. And let's press F5. Oh, nearly. Looks like I made a mess of something. Let's just see what happens with that. Let's go and press our button again. Try again. Back on the server, back on the client, to get our response. We load the XML, we get our query. Query should be fine. Aha. Obviously something missing as we are deserializing that stuff. Let me take a look at the what we're doing on server side, I think, is creating things with elements and not with attributes. That's probably a mistake. So these things on the server side are actually X attributes. So these should really be X elements. Otherwise, the client side stuff doesn't agree. So we have a protocol error of some sort between the two. Let's make those into elements. Let's press F5. So the client sends to the server attribute-centric XML. So here we are again, just running around with our breakpoints on the server side. Back on the client side, does that deserialize nicely now? Yes, it does. Cool. So sorry for the slight mistakes in there. I guess we learn a lot from those as we're going around. But it was just that on the client side, I'd sent attribute-centric XML, and on the server side, I'd returned element-centric XML. And that's fine. You know, that's okay. We're still working fine. So the point of this really was around the fact that when we wanted to do this complete request and response, we had to fall down to a lower-level class, HTTP web request and HTTP web response. And we use those quite simply still, but you fall back into the older asynchronous pattern of .NET with iasync result. You end up with more code. You have to worry about UI threads and so on. But if you need this full flexibility, then you can make this stuff work by looking at HTTP web request and HTTP web response. So I'm going to cut this video at this point. We'll come back. And we'll go back to using web client, and I'll try and stick with web client for most of the things that we do. And we'll look at something else. We'll look at how, at the moment, we've only done a get and a post. We'll look at doing something like a put or an update. And then we'll talk about what that opens up in terms of programming HTTP with Silverlight.